Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vridhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vridhari. Gopi Jana Bhala Bhagiri Vridhari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamna Tira Vanam Chadi. Jamna Tira Vanam Chadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hadi. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vridhari. 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 Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chagi. Jamuna Tiravana Chagi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parivijagacharya, Asta Chavasa Krishna, Srimadis Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki, Ramtha Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 27. Hiranyam Rajatam Sayam. Vasamya jina kamla balan. Jnanamritam Ibhan Kanya Dharam Vritti Karim Api Hiranyam Rajatam Shanyam Vasam Syajina Kalbanam Jnanam Rattam Ibhan Kanya Dharam Vritti Karim Api Ladies next, right? What's your procedure? Ladies, please chant. That's it. There's another chorus, or that's it? That's it. Okay. Hiranyam. Gold. Rajatam. Gold coins. Shayam. Bedding. Vasami. Clothing. Ajina. Animal skins for sheets. Kambalan. Blankets. Yanam. Horses. Ratan. Chariots. Ibhan. Elephants. Kanyaha. Girls. Dharam. Land. Vritti Karim. To provide livelihood. Api. Also. Translation, the Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold, gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seats, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All these charities were meant for the Brahmanas, whose lives were devoted entirely to the welfare of society, both spiritually and materially. The Brahmanas were not giving their services as paid servants, but the society provided them with all necessities. It was arranged for some of the brahmanas who were in difficulty for marriage to be given girls. The brahmanas, therefore, had no economic problem. The kshatriya kings and rich mercantile men would provide them with all they needed. And in exchange, the brahmanas were completely devoted to the elevation of society. That was the way of social cooperation between the different castes. When the brahmana class or caste gradually became easygoing, being fed by the society, although they had no brahminical qualifications, they degraded themselves into Brahma Bandhus, or disqualified brahmanas, and thus the other members of society also gradually fell down from the social standard of progressive life. As described in Bhagavad Gita, the caste system is the creation of the Lord and is arranged according to the quality of work rendered to society, and not in terms of birthright, as falsely claimed in the present degraded society. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshoda Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srimad Bhagavatam is a wonderful literature, and it's wonderful to be in the presence of so many wonderful young devotees hearing and discussing the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I understand that some magic is going to happen. At 7:30 you're all going to poof, disappear and go to Krishna Loka or something like that. So I'm going to try to stay focused a little bit on those of you that are here until the 7:30 bell rings. Question. You're all bright students and growing, budding bhaktas. How much stress do we place in the Hare Krishna movement today on varnashram? And one might say, because it's in the Bhagavatam, well, it's there in Vedic culture, but we're really interested in becoming devotees, and we're hopefully becoming interested in becoming devotees. So that's of primary importance. So what's the position of this varnashram system? Many of you have been brought up in devotee families, so you know the following exchange between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Who's Ramananda Roy? Ramananda Roy was one of the two most elevated associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Ramananda Roy was looked up to by a brahmana named Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is the most learned person in the land, and he looked up to Ramananda Roy because he was so spiritually elevated, although he wasn't a brahmana. I'll say it again. Although he wasn't a brahmana, he was looked up to by the most learned amongst the brahmanas. Why? Because he was so elevated in spiritual understanding of the topics of relationship with Krishna. He knew the scriptures. However, more than knowing the scriptures, like a brahmana is to know the scriptures, he was very, very elevated in understanding the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Previously, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, does that ring a bell for all of you young devotees? Not a bit. No bell at all. The term Bhattacharya is a title. It's a title given to a learned Brahmana who is most learned amongst the Brahmanas. Bhatta means learned, and Bhattacharya means the Acharya amongst the Bhattas. Sarvabhauma was his name, and he had a title. He was a very, very, three times, very elevated, learned person. He had thousands of learned persons studying under him. You have some teachers in your school. He was the teacher of teachers. He was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was really up there. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had previously advised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when I was traveling in South India and I met this Ramananda Roy, I thought, he's a sentimentalist. I didn't understand how elevated he was. Now, by meeting you, I've understand how elevated he was. When you're going to travel in South India, please go out of your way to meet Ramananda Roy. So he did. Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy, and they had some discussions on spiritual topics. Supposing you're meeting somebody for the first time. Maybe some of you. I'm meeting you for the first time. So you sit down and you get to know one another. What are you going to talk about when you're getting to meet somebody for the first time? Here's what Lord Chaitanya, where are you from? How's it going? How was prashadam? And those important things. Did you attend the festival of the holy name? How'd you like it? Who was the best kirtan singer? You know, so you have social conversations in relation to your life. But when Lord Chaitanya met with Ramananda Roy, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not just a Brahmana, he was a sannyasi Brahmana. He is at the top, even above Bhattacharya. He's at the top, sannyasi Brahmana. Lord Chaitanya took the subordinate position to Ramananda Roy and asked Ramananda Roy to provide answers to his questions. And his first question, so supposing you meet somebody for the first time, first question, what's the goal of life and the means to reach it? What's the goal of life and the means to reach it, to attain it? That's the starting point of their conversation. Very elevated. It's a very important section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Maybe someday you'll be enthusiastic and get a chance to read it. So the first response that Ramananda Roy gave to Lord Chaitanya was a verse from Vishnu Purana that says, the goal of life and the means to attain it is following of Varnashram and taking the fruits of your varna, your occupation, and offering it to Vishnu. That's the goal of life and the means to attain it. So back to my question, how important is it in the Hare Krishna movement? So what Lord Chaitanya said, very good, but go further. Go further. So we want to go further. We don't ignore. We shouldn't ignore the duties of Varnashram. On the other hand, there's a very important teaching, the concluding teaching of Bhagavad Gita. I bet many of you know the verse. If you know the verse, you can say it with me. It's 1866. It starts Sarva Dharmam Parityaja. So if you know the verse, I'll say it slowly. You please say it with me. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami ma suchaha. Very important verse. And in that very important verse, Krishna is saying what Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Roy. Very good. Do your prescribed duty and offer the result of your prescribed duty unto the Supreme Lord Vishnu. That's good. But there's something better than good, that is best, and that is mam ekam sharanam. What does that mean? You don't know? Sharanam. Sharanam means to surrender. Mam ekam, unto Krishna alone. Ekam means one. Mam ekam sharanam. That's what we're most interested in. Mam ekam sharanam. It doesn't mean we trash varnashram. It's in a subordinate position. It's a dharma. Varnashram dharma is a dharma created by Krishna. It's important and is subordinate to the best, which is mam ekam sharanam, taking shelter of Krishna. One can do both, but don't just do varnashram minus taking shelter of Krishna. When you take shelter of Krishna, it is understood. You have a nature, and you're going to do some duties according to your nature, and you guide those duties according to varna and ashram. Like, you know, you're in student life. That's one of the ashrams. Brahmachari, and young girls too. Brahmachari ashram. You're in school. That's a stage of life. And then, et cetera, et cetera. So that, what you're doing, is to be dedicated to one purpose, pleasing Krishna. Supposing you don't go to a devotee school, you go to the other kind. You can develop your tendencies in science and math and composition and whatever else, and what music and other things, minus Krishna. Well, doesn't hit the mark. So as you're going to school, see if you can hit the mark. That is, dedicate what you're doing, hearing nicely from your teachers who know the principle and would like you to receive that principle or essence in your lives, of dedicating your studies and your relationships and your everything. Many young people like kirtan. Dedicate your kirtan to Krishna. Don't just become good at mridanga playing. You're the mridanga player? Sometimes. So besides becoming proficient at mridanga playing, try to do this. And everyone else that does something when you're doing kirtan, dedicate it to pleasing Krishna. Guess what? Ability will come better to that person who dedicates their capacity, tendency for something, music and whatever else it is, in devotion to Krishna. Because he's the source of everything, right? Krishna's the source of everything. So we dedicate everything that we have to him. Whatever it is we have, we dedicate to him in loving service. Mam ekam sharanam. So now back to the Bhagavatam. Because what we're hearing in this little section of the Bhagavatam is some of the devotees from Dwarka are going to Prabhas, which is a nice place. It's a holy place. It's known as a holy place. That's why they went there, to have a festival. And when they went there, these are Kshatriyas. They were doing the duty of a Kshatriya. They were following Varnashram. But they were still following Varnashram. That is, they're pure devotees. When you read further upcoming verses, they're all perfect souls. Sadhana siddhas. Maybe it was in the previous purport. Sadhana. You know what sadhana means, right? Sadhana? How about your friend? Sadhana? Meaning? Sadhana means devotional practice. That's what we do. We do devotional practice. Sadhana. And they had become perfect through sadhana, therefore sadhana siddhas. It's in the previous section of this chapter. Perfect. So they are perfect devotees, immediate associates of Krishna and Dwarka. And they went, but they did some things that were under the direction of Krishna's internal potency. They got a little confused. But they're still, so they're pure devotees following Varnashram, and as Kshatriyas, what do Kshatriyas do? They give in charity to the Brahmanas. This is the social structure. Of course, it means qualified Brahmanas, not the other kind, but qualified Brahmanas are to be maintained by those who have the means to maintain them. And the rulers, the ruling families in Dwarka, they had the means to maintain them. So when they came to Prabhas, one of the things that's mentioned in this verse is they did what Kshatriyas do, or those that have financial capacity do, when they come in contact with qualified Brahmanas. And they respected them. They offered things to them. They gave gifts and charity. And the list of what was given as gifts and charity is a little puzzling. I don't know if somebody else in the room was a little puzzled by that list of gifts. I mean, one of the things that stuck out the most, fortunately Prabhupada answered it, they gave girls. But the explanation is, there were some brahmanas that were having difficulty finding qualified wives, and so the kshatriyas made arrangements so that they could have a qualified wife. That's good. Because that means not everyone needed some girls. That's not what brahmanas need. But there's some of the rest of this is also puzzling. Maybe there's some learned brahmanas in the room that could answer this question. Elephants? What's a brahmana going to do with an elephant? Or horses? And chariots? I mean, they could say, thank you very much, then give it to somebody that needs an elephant, I guess. Some of you, younger generation devotees, will one day make a visit to Mayapur. Vrindavan and Mayapur are very special places. Jagannath Puri is a very special place for us also. But maybe one day you'll go to Mayapur. When you go to Mayapur, you'll see that the whole community in Mayapur is maintaining an elephant. The elephant's a big guy, and they have the whole thing. They bathe the elephant once a day, and he eats a lot. Now, what's a brahmana going to do with an elephant? After you all leave, if somebody knows the answer to that one, you can tell me, but give it to somebody that can maintain the elephant, I guess. Because what are they going to do with an elephant? Very costly and what... Anyway, kings had elephants. Brahmanas don't need elephants. But aside from the gifts, that the principle, the emphasis in this purport is the principle of those who have means, financial and other means, it's pleasing to Krishna to give that which is of the necessities for a brahmana, to the brahmana, so they don't have to have any worries about necessities. They're not worried about their necessities anyway because they're brahmanas. But the social structure is such that they're taken care of. And just a little sharing because the 7:30 bell is going to ring shortly. Just before coming to Alachua, it was the Thanksgiving weekend. You all were over there in that tent having your festival of holy name, and I was in Houston, Texas, conducting a 13-part seminar on Light of the Bhagwat. Light of the Bhagwat is the second book that Srila Prabhupada wrote in 1962. And there's a big section in that Light of the Bhagavad about what's here. And that is the duty of the brahmanas is focused and dedicated to the upliftment and spiritual improvement of the entire society. That's what brahmanas are meant for. They're to be maintained because of that most valuable service, and they're to do that valuable service. So we're being trained to become Vaishnavas, which means subset of being a Vaishnava is to be a brahmana. And so that means what we're supposed to do, please remember this as you're growing up and becoming young adults, we're supposed to act and speak and our lives dedicated to the upliftment of society. It starts with ourselves, but it's also to be extended to the society. And the positive is the whole society becomes uplifted by qualified brahmanas. The negative is if the brahmanas don't do that service, the whole society becomes degraded instead of uplifted. In other words, the social structure that Krishna has given is dependent upon the brahmanas. Doesn't mean the other parts of society are unimportant, but the most important part of society is brahmanas that are qualified, two things, qualified and doing the duties of. And always, invariably, Prabhupada would speak about the brahmana is to have the qualities and do the work of. And what it's not is by birth. What it is quality and work. Guna karma, vibhagashar. You know the verse? Those of you that know the verse, you can say with me. Chatur varna maya shishtam guna karma vibhagashah. Krishna created this system of four varnas, four ashrams, chatur varnam, the four occupations, according to quality and work. So, Hare Krishna devotees, we are being trained by the bhakti system to become Vaishnavas, and the subset of Vaishnava is to become qualified as a brahmana. Now, supposing your occupation is not being a teacher. Supposing your occupation is you take care of the cows. Or supposing your occupation is you're the groundkeeper. Or you're the maintenance guy. Or supposing something, something, something. You fix the cars when they're broken, but whatever your occupation is, according to nature. Still, just listening to Prabhupada describing this in Hyderabad in a room conversation, qualified persons, even they may be street sweepers, they're very clean. I mean, he went on for about 5-6 minutes about he personally observed the street sweepers, how they keep their utensils, how they keep their home. They're not only sweeping in someone's home or the street or wherever it is that they do their street sweeping. He personally went and saw they're very clean. Their home is very clean. Their utensils, he kept saying utensils, very clean. So that's, although their occupation may be a street sweeper or a sweeper, their character, qualified persons, their character is, if they're Vaishnava, Prabhupada said, I visited the home of a street sweeper and I saw that he was worshipping a deity every day. Although he's a sweeper. So he's a Vaishnava. So we're meant to become Vaishnavas. We're being trained to become Vaishnavas. And that means brahminical, please. Whatever your occupation might be. Now this is nice talk, and then comes where the rubber meets the road, you know, the doing these activities. So you're all very fortunate being trained in a school where you're not only learning math and geometry and, you know, with the science and stuff. You're, and more importantly, being trained how to become a devotee, which means building of character, and back to this light of the Bhagavad, over and over. Repeatedly, Srila Prabhupada was saying that the duty of the brahmana is to uplift the character of society. Of course, that means they have to have it in order to display it. It has to be inside so that it can come outside, both in their behavior and in their words. That's really good. And it's really important for the whole of society to have that element within society. Now, I have just have a question for our teachers here. Am I supposed to continue keeping everything focused on kids, or I can move on to more philosophy and other things?
I can move on.
Okay, I've tried to do what I was queued up to do, speak for the younger generation. Thank you very much for your teaching service. You're a hero. Krishna's hero. If the adults could come forward, that would be those you can, like the bench sheets, that's okay. But the rest of you, if you come forward, it'll be nice. Okay. Boy, it's a lot slimmer. I was thinking to share at least two, maybe three things, see how time permits. This section of Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with the execution of a plan. It's described in this section, Krishna's plan. He manifested. He stayed for some time, performed his pastimes, and now it's time to wind up his pastimes. So he's making this arrangement for the conclusion of his pastimes. And the conclusion of his pastimes is going to be a fratricidal war. It's like, what a way to end his pastimes. But part of the idea is that who could withdraw the Yadu dynasty except the Yadu dynasty? And how to get the Yadu dynasty to withdraw the Yadu dynasty? You could have N possible ways of that happening, but he chose this particular way. And there's always an understanding. It's one of the characteristics of Krishna. He's expert. With one thing, he accomplishes many things. So he's withdrawing Yadu dynasty so they can return to their destinations because they descended, or expansions of them descended to take part in his pastimes for their pleasure and for his pleasure to assist him. So now it's time, and in the course of showing this pastime, he's showing there's some what not to do things. You know, fratricidal war is something not to do. But it's his internal potency. And although in this particular verse, it's the kshatriyas or the nitya-siddha members of Dwarka performing their activities in such a way they end up becoming intoxicated with rice wine, it says specifically coming up, with the approval of the brahmanas. So all this is happening by the Lord's own arrangement, super soul prompting someone to do this and to say that. They spoke harsh words, that's not to be done, but they did it. And those harsh words were taken not kindly, and it resulted in bashing each other, and so forth and so on. There's layers and layers of understandings in everything that Krishna does. And there's lessons what not to do, even if you're a great personality. Now, going back, one of the not to do things is offending a brahmana. And that's how, you know, the whole sequence started. There was a big festival at Vasudev's home, and there were brahmanas taking part in the festival, and the Samba and sons of Krishna were spoofing the brahmanas. You know, there's a big lump of iron underneath Samba's cloth, and pretended to be a pregnant woman. What's the gender, boy or girl? That lump of iron is going to become the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. So the offense of the brahmanas resulted in a curse from the brahmanas. Now, brahmanas don't normally curse, but it's part of an arrangement. And one of the layers of understanding is, do not offend brahmanas. Namo brahmanya devaya go brahmana hitayacha. The brahmanas and cows are very dear to Govinda. And so we honor them. We don't offend them. And the culture in which that surrounds us is poor cows. Poor cows. Poor cows. And it's just ingrained in the culture that surrounds us. So it's quite natural in the culture that surrounds us that there's not going to be due respect for brahmanas, which to speak of qualified brahmanas coming out of that society. And so because there are such tendencies, we have to be lean in the other direction to give protection to cows and give respect to brahmanas. I'm going to get on a soapbox for a minute. One of my peeves is sadhu ninda. There's a tendency sometimes for being in the company of devotees who are qualified persons to not take them as qualified persons and start speaking or behaving in ways that's not respectful, or sadhu ninda. It happens. And there's a whole big thing about it. Just during, for example, during part of this visit, I've been speaking about the six Goswamis, and there's this celebrated teaching in the life of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami where unintentionally, what to speak of speaking something, unintentionally, Rupa Goswami was perceived as having offended an old Brahmana. He wasn't like a super duper Brahmana, but he was a Brahmana. And the old Brahmana thought that Rupa Goswami was laughing at him because he couldn't walk properly. It wasn't laughing at him because he couldn't walk properly. He was experiencing a wonderful pastime of Krishna within his meditation while chanting the holy name. And it was a funny pastime, very joyful pastime. Krishna and the gopis and Radha were all laughing at this wonderful pastime. And he also was a participant in the pastime as Rupa Mantri, and he also laughed internally in his meditation, and so his body was also externally laughing. As the Brahmana was passing by, the Brahmana thought, he's laughing at me. And his mind became disturbed. He didn't mean to offend the Brahmana. It wasn't that, but it was perceived as that. And as a result, Rupa Goswami's meditation broke, and he couldn't regain that meditation, so he went to Sanatan, his elder brother, and said, this happened, please explain. Now fortunately, the Brahmana had gone to Sanatan Goswami. All of this reaches the conclusion. Sanatan Goswami said to Rupa, the reason your meditation broke is because this Brahmana thought that you were offending him, and so it disturbed your meditation. Go find the Brahmana, explain to the Brahmana, you weren't making fun of him, you were enjoying a pastime within that Krishna was exhibiting. And it was, you explained to him the whole thing, but still apologized. You know, I didn't mean what you thought it was. And then when the Brahmana heard, oh, I'm the offender. This is all in Bhakti Ratnakar. And the author, Narahari Chakravarti, writes a nice, my dear devotees, beware. Never criticize another devotee. Never find fault with another devotee. There may be a fault. Never find fault. Don't make that mistake. It's a warning. Now, probably in Alachua, there's none of that that goes on where people find fault with each other. But some places, other than Alachua, it does go on. And we should be very, very careful. Maybe we should say forbearing. Very, 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 very careful. It's the first offense against the chanting of the holy name. Very serious stuff. So all of this was narrated in this pastime. So many sequences of events that was part of Krishna's plan, but there's consequences. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated as a result of that offense to those Brahmanas. Supposing the Brahmanas didn't curse, no reaction, there's reaction, because Krishna doesn't require the Brahmana that you've offended, or the Vaishnava you offended, they put their hands on their hips and they curse you. Krishna's not pleased. And our life is the opposite. The Krishna should be pleased. Okay, I'm now going to get off the soapbox. Be careful. Live it and help others that make such a mistake, and a mistake then becomes the next mistake, then becomes a tendency, becomes something that somebody does again and again. Maybe you know some people like that. I know some people like that. It's very unfortunate. But be careful. And there's something else I wanted to share. And yeah, I think there's time. During the month of Kartik, I went with a group of devotees following the path that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled. This was the third year of following the path that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled. And one of the places that he traveled to was in Udupi and Melkote. And so for the geography, it's the southwest coast of India. So So we spent time in those places, that area, Karnataka and etc. And there's a very nice story that's connected with this pastime from Udupi. One of the things, if you've not been to Udupi, you may know about Udupi anyways, is the central deity that Madhvacharya personally worshipped was a Krishna deity known commonly as Udupi Krishna. Udupi Krishna. And you probably know the history to some extent of how that Udupi Krishna came to him. Now, where Udupi is and where the coast of Melkote is, there's some distance, some kilometers away. So one day, here's the history. One day, Madhvacharya had an inspiration, super soul inspiration. He wanted to take a bath in the ocean. As he was walking towards the ocean, within some prayers that later were written and became part of his sampradaya, some 12 prayers that were glorifications of Krishna and anticipation of meeting Krishna. Anticipation of meeting Krishna. I mean, sounds like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's Madhvacharya. And as he was composing in his mind these prayers in Sanskrit, he had this premonition that he was going to meet Krishna that day. He got to the sea, took his bath. By the side of the sea, he was continuing to recite over and over again these prayers that he had composed in his mind. And in the distance, he saw a cargo ship that got stuck on a sandbar. So he felt compassion for the captain of the ship and his cargo. It's described in his biography. He took a cloth, like a handkerchief, and waved it. And mystically, the boat became freed from the sandbar. We can't do like that. And the captain of the ship saw Madhvacharya because he was visible from where he was on the ship. And Madhva then motioned the captain to come to the shore. So he came to the shore, came down from his boat, came to Madhvacharya, and thanked him profusely and said, you've rescued my ship. I'd like to give some gift. Can I offer you a gift? Please allow that. Madhva said, I don't need anything. I'm a sannyasi. But if you like, you can give me the Gopi Chandan that's in the hull of your ship. A big Gopi Chandan. Because ships at sea, it's a good idea to put something really heavy in the hull of the ship because it's ballast. It keeps the ship from rocking. Helps. In the sea, that's very stormy sometimes. So I said, sure. And something like 30 men tried to lift that Gopi Chandan. It was in the hull of the ship and he couldn't lift it. Madhva descended to the hull of the ship and lifted it. Because he is very powerful. He's an incarnation of Vayu. And then he was taking that Gopi Chandan back to Udupi and it broke open. And when it broke open, one of the things inside that Gopi Chandan was a deity of Krishna. And when he got back to Udupi, after washing the deity, he installed the deity and personally worshipped the deity every day. Udupi Krishna. So now, have you ever wondered? I often wondered, then I came to know by some research. What was the deity of Krishna doing in the hull of a ship? Because the ship had come from Dwarka. So what's an Udupi, what's a Krishna deity doing in a big chunk of chandan anyway? So here's the history. The history is, in Dwaraka, Vasudeva and Devaki were in Dwaraka. They were part of the royal family. They were residing in Dwaraka. And Devaki didn't have the opportunity to see Krishna's childhood pastimes. So one day she requested, Krishna, is it possible you can show me your childhood pastimes, which I was unable to experience? So Krishna assumed an infant form, crawled on the lap of Devaki, did mischievous pranks, did many different things, and then transformed himself back into the adult Krishna. Rukmini saw this pastime of Krishna acting as a small Krishna in Vrindavan. Rukmini had not seen these pastimes either. So Rukmini then later approached Krishna and said, is it possible to get a deity form of you like those pastimes that I can worship? Krishna said yes. Krishna had Vishvakarma create this deity of Udupi Krishna, which is a child Krishna with a rope in one hand and a stick for the cows or calves in his other hand. A small, young Krishna in Vrindavan. And Rukmini worshipped that deity until the time of Krishna's departure, according to this history. At the time of Krishna's departure, it's coming up in this whole next section, that Krishna instructed his chariot driver, Dwaraka, to go quickly to Dwaraka, inform them that my pastimes are going to conclude very soon, the whole of Dwaraka is going to sink into the sea. And so Dwaraka did that. Dwaraka informed. Arjuna happened to be there. Arjuna took the deity from Dwaraka and placed it in a forest, I forget the name of the forest, and over the years and years and years and years and years, it became caked with chandan, and that's what became the ballast for the ship. A non-worship deity since the time of Krishna's departure. Used as ballast for the ship that was bringing cargo to the southern shore, southern side of India. That's what, that was the ballast in the ship. And Udupi Krishna was inside. So a nice connection with this little section. Because when the previous verse was saying, the Nitya Siddha devotees remained in Dwaraka, and the Sadhana Siddha devotees went to Prabhas and did, you know, what they, what's described here, and then the upcoming verses, and the immolation, the fratricidal war, the whole thing. Just a little sharing. Some stitching together of this history, of that history, and they match. Okay, there's 5 minutes remaining until the 9 o'clock bell rings. So let's see if there's some discussion or comments or anything. Yes.
Maharaj, you spoke about protecting the cows.
Yeah.
Is the cow slaughter have anything to do with the wars that is happening in the world? The reason why I'm asking is because in Isaiah, it is mentioned if you kill a bull, it's just like killing a man. And then, you know, Krishna loves the cow. So that's murder. So I don't know if it's connected with wars that is taking place.
I'm aging, and my hearing is not what it used to be. Could you follow what he said?
Does murder of the cows have anything to do with the wars that are now taking place?
Of course. Mass killing results in mass killing. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, What are some ways devotees can protect the cows around the world?
Protect the cows around the world. You have your hands full. A beginning part is teach by example, and then speak first. So achar and prachar, the importance. My recommendation, in addition to cow protection, is why? Because there are persons that are ahimsa people. I know some ahimsa people that won't take cow's milk, even protect the cow's milk. So what's pleasing to Krishna is the fuel or the driving force. So it's pleasing to Krishna for protection of cows. But let's not forget, when we speak, because your question is protecting the cows around the world, speak Krishna consciousness. Let's do this. By speaking Krishna consciousness, by people becoming Krishna bhaktas, they'll protect cows. What do you think? Is that a good strategy?
Definitely, but also, if the world become aware that, because in our societies, like Christianity, Islam, and so, it's like a norm.
It's a norm.
You know, they feel that it's just a part of life.
Therefore, helping persons come to Krishna bhakti will help protect cows. You have something?
Just one question about the ball of chandan. How did it get on the boat? Was that?
They must have had a crane or something. I don't know.
I've heard that before, but I always wondered, like, how did they acquire that?
They had a lot of guys that lifted it because they wanted ballast in the hull of the ship, and so they got a lot of guys to put it in the hull of the ship. The narration doesn't say how it got there. Just put two and two together and took a lot of guys because 30 men tried to lift it out of the hull of the ship and they couldn't. 30 men, so they had more than 30 to put it in the hull. Strong guys too. Okay, it's 9 o'clock and we like to end on time.
One more question.
This is just a comment pertaining to your earlier part. I just want to say, if I have offended any Vaishnavas, I am truly sorry, and that was probably unintentional, and, just to clear, that I tried not to offend anybody.
So let's invite anyone that feels that you have offended them, speak up, so that you can then, personally ask them, please tell me what that offense was that I did, so I don't repeat it again.
Yeah, so if anybody can hear me or anything, just, it doesn't have to be right now, but let me know if I offended you, and I will explain it, that I truly have no intentions of, offending anybody.
Let me respond to this with a final remark. Once upon a time, Prabhupada was explaining the consequence of Vaishnava Aparad, and he said even unintentional Vaishnava Aparad has consequence. That was just the talk. And then the devotee said, what about all the offenses I must have made to so many devotees unknowingly and unintentionally, and they felt offended, or maybe even, whatever. They may not have felt offended, but I offended them, and Krishna didn't like it. So what do I do? And Prabhupada's answer was, in this particular case, there may have been other cases that I'm not aware of. He said, therefore, every day after Mangal Arati, we offer this prayer. Vancha kalpaturubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha vititanam pavane vyo vaishnabe vyo namo. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.